Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, this is Solomon, as we've been saying, who's at the end of his life now and he's about to die. And he accepts that sort of God kind of exists, but he's lost his real faith and trust in God, if he ever had it. He's not got any hope for the future. He thinks that the greatest thing is to have a good time in this life. And now he's old, even though he had the best time in a sense, in worldly terms. He had money, he could do whatever he wanted, he had his health, he had 1,000 women in his life, he had everything that many men would dream of having. And yet, even then, because he didn't really have God in his life, and he didn't have the hope of being in God's kingdom in the future, because he thought it was all here and now, he's now very depressed. And this is really what we're going to read here, his advice to young people. And it's almost like he's saying, well, this God stuff, it's good for the kids, good for the youngsters, but I don't want it. And it's sad. And as with all that he says here, there's bits of truth in it all. It's just that he personally, as he said, it is far from me. He himself personally didn't believe it. So he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before those sad and evil days and years come when you will say, I have no pleasure in living. And again, this is true, that we should remember our Creator in the days of our youth. If we've been raised believing the things of the gospel, we should get baptized and give your best years to your God before the time comes when you can't physically do much anymore. And so he then starts going on about old age. That is when the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars becomes dim for you, and the rain clouds appear to never pass away. When you're young, even if you've got bad times, you always hope that a better time's coming. When you're really old, you think, well, that's it, if you haven't got any hope for the future. When he talks about the light of the sun and moon and stars gets dim, it's, I think, a reference to losing your eyesight as you get older. Then your arms that once were strong and protected you will start shaking, and your legs, which are now strong, will become weak. Your teeth will be so few that you can't chew your food. Your eyes won't be able to see things clearly. Everything will seem dim. Your ears will become deaf, and you won't be able to hear what's going on in the street. You'll hardly be able to hear the mill as it grinds or music playing. And even the birdsong will wake you up from sleep. In other words, you won't sleep very well. You'll be frightened of heights, and walking will be worrisome for you. Your hair will become white like the almond tree. You will hardly be able to drag yourself along, and all desire for women will have gone. We're on our way to our final resting place, and then there will be weeping in the streets. Well, he talks about the final resting place. Well, he didn't have a hope, did he then, of resurrection? Because we know when we bury a believer that this is not their final resting place. Men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're told in the New Testament, believed that although they hadn't received eternal inheritance of the land in this life, they believed they would get it. So they therefore believed in a resurrection of the body. So did Job. He says that though worms are going to eat this body, yet in my flesh, in a bodily form, I will see God, and my eyes will see him. So he looked forward to a resurrection. But Solomon is saying that the grave for him was the final resting place. Well, the Bible does teach that knowledge makes us responsible to judgment. And those who have known the gospel, who have known God's ways, and Solomon certainly did, will be resurrected and judged. So he's not going to get out of it by saying, oh, I'm going to die, go to my last resting place. Well, no. And then he talks about death. He says it's like a silver chain that snaps, and the golden lamp that it's holding falls down and smashes. It's as if the rope in a well breaks, and the water jar drops and shatters. Our bodies return to the dust of the earth. The spirit of life, the breath of life, returns to the God who gave it to us. Absolutely vain and useless, says the teacher. Everything is vanity. Well, yeah, it is, if you have no hope beyond the grave. Absolutely. And this is where we can learn a lot from Solomon. That indeed, unless we have the hope of the resurrection of the body and being in God's kingdom, then everything is pretty useless. And we get that hope by believing in Jesus who died and resurrected, being baptized into him. You go under the water, that's like death with Jesus. You come up out of the water, it's like his resurrection. And then his life, his resurrection will be yours. And so, the teacher, as Solomon calls himself, summed it up. And because he was wise, he kept on teaching the people what he knew. He studied Proverbs and tested the truth of them. The teacher tried to find comforting words, and he wrote honest words. Well, I think what he's saying is that, yeah, this is all very far from me, personally. I don't believe it, but I think it's good, and I'll teach it to other people. And there are people like that at times you meet. They see the truth of it all, but they refuse to grasp it for themselves because they want it all now, and they are too proud to accept it all. So he says, the sayings of the wise are like goads. That's what the shepherds and others would use to stick in the side of animals or those that they were ploughing with to make them jump the right way. The collected proverbs are like firmly driven nails. They've been given by God, the shepherd of us all. My son, there is no end to writing books. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. There's only one thing really to say. Respect God and obey his commands, because this is the whole duty of man. God will judge whatever we do, whether good or bad, including those things done in secret. Now that's the end of the book, and you sort of wonder why he quite ends like that, when he has said himself that he doesn't think there's any hope of resurrection. He says that, and yet he can never do away, I think, with this niggling sense that, yeah, there is a God. And, well, if there is a God, we are accountable to him and we'll have to come to judgment. So he ends in that, to me, rather sad way, sad for him, although it's true. God is going to judge whatever we do, good or bad, and including our secret things. And Paul quotes that in Corinthians and says that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ when he comes again. So, I think the takeaway from all this is to not just to know these things, but to really believe them and make them personal for ourselves, because Solomon sort of knew it, but he didn't really want to accept it for himself, because he wanted to be the great king of the kingdom in this life. And you also see how, for all his rejection, really, of any personal responsibility to God, any idea that he is going to be resurrected to judgment, he still can't quite become an atheist. He can't put out of his mind that God exists. And in fact, I don't think there really is a total atheist, someone who is absolutely dogmatic, there is no God. Some people would say they are. But I think at best, people would have to say that they're agnostic. That is, that they don't see evidence for a God, but they don't say there isn't a God. Because, of course, you can never disprove that there's a God. You can never do some experiment or something that says, da-da-da, there is no God up there. You can never disprove it. You can't prove it, because you've got to believe in God by faith, but you cannot disprove it. And so this means that even absolutely hedonistic people like Solomon, that is, people who just do whatever feels good and try to get maximum pleasure for themselves in this life, even they can never quite put out of their mind the possibility that there is a God. And that means that you've got this worrying sense of maybe judgment to come. And they can never get rid of that. Whereas we who know that there is a God must give ourselves 100% to him with our whole heart, soul and mind. So that, like David, you actually want judgment day to come. You're looking forward to it. You're looking forward to Jesus coming back, to the kingdom, to being in the kingdom. This is a far happier way to live. And of course, it has hope for eternal life in the future.